want to continue to worship Him. But I would ask you just take a seat for a moment. And in the worship song, that new song that we just heard and we just sang with, we're talking about worship. We're talking about being in His presence. And I hear people talk about glorifying God. And sometimes we think that we glorify God only by our worship in the church setting. But we truly understand, don't we, that to glorify God means that our life is committed to Him. It's not glorifying God. It's not something we simply do but with an attitude of worship where we lift up our hands and our voices. But it is a life. We live in His presence. We are aware of His presence throughout the day. We take the time to confer with Him, to speak to Him, to talk to Him. What do you think, Lord? What do you think about this decision I'm about to make? What do you think about this which I'm about to say? You see, that's really worship. And I believe that the glory of God is His church. So when we talk about that, we immediately think of all the failures of the church. We think of all of the mistakes. But what we need to realize and remember is that they were failures and mistakes made by men and women. His church will not fail because it's His body. And the reason I bring this up is that you're aware of it probably. I'm sure all of you are aware of a very tragic situation that took place in Charlotte, South Carolina this week. And there was a young man. And you know, in our culture, in our society, it's difficult for us sometimes to say that a person is evil. But there was evil in his heart. Yes, he was young. You know, you can blame his childhood. You can blame his father. You can blame so many things. But there was evil in his heart. And he went into a church and took the lives of 9 saints. 9 men and women who were there doing a Bible study. And he slaughtered them because there was hatred in his heart. You know, and sometimes we as modern people, we try to rationalize and justify. But evil is evil. And let me say to you, church, that there are evil people in this world. Now, evil is not about someone who succumbs to temptation. Evil is not about someone who is weak and falls and fails. But evil, as defined by the Scriptures, is one who is a murderer. And that can take many shapes and many forms. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You are your father's sons." And he says, because he, the father, the devil, the Satan that we know about, that we read about, he is a murderer from the very beginning. And so we've heard the expression, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Well, this young man had murder in his heart. He had the attitude and the leading and the inclinations of his father, his spiritual father, which is the devil himself. And Jesus goes on to say that the devil is a liar from the very beginning. But I want to read to you something that the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 26. Let me say to you, there is no place. Let me say that again. There is no place for hatred and bigotry in the heart of a believer. Because that hatred and bigotry is against God's creation. And in verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, "But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." Here we go, verse 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Here we go. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And I believe that if Jesus had said this, or was, in the context of our culture and our society today, he would also have included, "There is no black nor white. There's no yellow nor red. There's no brown or polka dot. We are in Christ, and as Christ in Christ, we are brothers and sisters." And so whatever you may have been taught in the past, whatever influences that cause you to think a certain way, we need to, as a church, commit to not think like our father, the devil, because he's not our father, but to think like our Father in heaven, who sent Jesus into the world as a sacrifice, that anyone of any color, of any persuasion, of any tribe, of any culture, of any nation, would be one family in him. So I want us to, if we could, just stand with me, and we're going to take a moment to pray for that church, and in particular the families of those that lost loved ones. And that we would just commit this morning to make no distinction. And so, Heavenly Father, right now, we just lift up our hands to you. Just lift up your hands to him right now. And say, "Lord, if there's anything in me, Lord, that I may have learned, I am come to maybe a faulty conclusion. Well, Lord, whatever it is, when it speaks about your creation, Lord, let it be discarded from me. And let the words of the Apostle Paul speak to me from Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. That we show no partiality. And Lord, that there is no place for hatred, no place for bigotry in my life. And so, Lord, we just surrender ourselves to you, Lord. Even in as we've been singing, Lord, we just come to your feet, Lord, that you would grace us with your presence and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness, that we might experience joy inexpressible with all people of the world. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and ask you to just bless our time as we just continue to exalt you, just to lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. Obviously, today is Father's Day. I like that holiday. And so in a few minutes, we're gonna bless the fathers and just ask for God to just anoint us I'm glad I can say us, for the fullness of God's Spirit in our lives. And I see Chris Golden, and there's the father. Why don't you stand up, Chris? Now, the reason I'm picking him out, he's got a baby in his arms. And that's the picture that we think of as a father, but I'll tell you what, some of us have fathers that are older than Chris, or sons and daughters that have, you know. And I understand that Nick and Gabby are here as well. Are they still in here? Oh, they're in the back. Okay. They're in the very back room. Okay. There they are. Okay. Amen. Not to be outdone, Nick has. Oh wow, that's a baby. Amen. Good to see the both of you. See all three of you, all six of you, or whatever. But God is good. And normally, when we think of fathers, you know, that's what we think of. We think of fathers and little children. But I'll tell you what, you know, once you're a father, you're always a father. Amen. And there are biological fathers, and you guys can have a seat now. And there are our biological fathers, and there are many of us in this room that, you know, are biological fathers. We have sons and we have daughters that were born, you know, by not by us, but through us, and we participated, right? But there are also adoptive fathers, and fathers who are fathers through adoption. There are fathers who are stepdads that become fathers through marriage. There are spiritual fathers, not to be forgotten, that there are men that have decided that they want to be an example and a model and to impart into the lives of those who perhaps may not have fathers around or the kind of fathers that God would really want to have them in their lives. And so there are many, many kinds of fathers, and I would think. And then, there are, I heard someone pray earlier in the morning just before worship, prayed for some of the single men here that they would be future fathers. And so we have future fathers in the room. And that may not be a thought that is especially warm and fuzzy to your heart, but believe me, when you hold your own in your arms, there's something happens. There's a change, and that's the capacity that fatherhood has, is to change a heart, to change an attitude. There's just something powerful about holding a child, a baby, in your arms, and. And so today we want to honor fathers. In a short time, I'm going to ask all the dads to fathers of whatever type. You know, so you may be a spiritual dad. You may be a stepdad. You may have an adoptive dad. You may be a biological dad. But we want you to come forward, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray God's anointing upon your life. But before we do that, there's some things that I want us to take a look at. Because being a father myself, I know how difficult it is to live up to the standards that have been imposed by our culture and our society today in particular to what they say is fatherhood. You know, to me, now I'm going to share some of my own opinion, and you know, that means you're allowed to disagree. You're allowed to say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. Or you can say yes and amen. But my experience over these years as a dad, as a pre-dad, as a dad, and now as a granddad, is that the world system, the world culture, has placed unrealistic and impractical attitudes and goals for fatherhood. So I think that if we're going to look at what a father is, we need to go back to the Father. Amen. You know, and in His image, we want to be like Him. And what I see is that the Father loves. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And so the Father is one who loves. But the question is, how should we love as fathers, as men? Do we love like a woman loves? I don't think so. And yet, when we look at the demands that are made upon us by our culture and our society, I suspect that there's a great deal of, ladies, please don't run out of the room, but by feminists who have decided that fathers should be more like mothers. Listen, God made man and woman distinct and different. God made fathers and mothers distinct and different. And together, they make a whole. Together, they impart something into the life of a child that makes them whole on the inside. Amen. And so, let me tell you what a father does. A father loves. A father loves. There's no denying that God has called us as fathers to love. But what's equally important is to understand what makes our child's love clock tick, if you will. And you've heard me speak over the years, if you've been here for some time, about the language of love and the fact that we all express love differently. We all recognize love differently. And so therefore, as fathers, we need to connect. We need to figure out how our sons and daughters, whether they're natural sons and daughters or adopted or step or we're mentoring, we need to figure out what makes them tick. Amen. You know, I made a mistake as a father growing up, as a father growing up, in thinking that there's one rule that fits all. Come on, anybody ever apply? You know, hey, I may have had two children, and we had two. I didn't have it, but actually, Dee did the hard work. But we have two children, and I took the position, and actually, I had three children for a while there because my sister came to live with us as one of our children, and I felt that one rule should fit everybody. How many people realize that, Dad, that is the biggest mistake that you can make? Because each person, each child is unique and different and needs to be approached in a unique and different way. What worked for my son is not going to work for my daughter. And what works for my daughter is not going to work for my son. What works for Marianne is not going to work for the others. So I wish I had learned that earlier. And dads, you know, that still have children at home, you need to recognize that. You need to examine. You need to search out. You need to figure out what is it that makes your child's bell ring. What do they respond to? Because they're all different. And you can read books about it, and that'll give you some insight. But the thing is, every person is unique and different. And dads, you need to figure that out. You need to figure that out. Because your Father in heaven knows you by name. Your Father in heaven has a prescription, if you will, has a plan for your life that is unique and different for every person. And that's because he knows what makes you tick. And he's got a plan for your life that'll make your clock tick like crazy. Because he knows. We are trying to figure it out. But one thing about fathers is that they love. Listen, here's another thing about fathers. Fathers protect. Amen. That's what fathers do. You protect your family. A father who doesn't protect his family is not functioning in the role that God has created him for. A father provides for his family. And I know that in this day, in this age, it's very difficult for a father, a sole breadwinner in the house, but nevertheless, a father provides. So a father loves, a father protects, and a father provides. A father is faithful. And I'm just looking at my Father in heaven. He's all these things. A father is faithful. Not only faithful to his children, but he's faithful to his wife because that is the model. That is what the children will see. He's faithful in his words. He's faithful in his deeds. A father waits. I think of the story in Luke 16 where 15 or 16? Somebody help me. The prodigal son. 16. Where the father waits for the son. I'll tell you what, I'm a father. I've waited. You know, and when God uses the word son, we know that he can mean that's a son or a daughter. And God, because he's faithful, will bring it about. And finally, let me just say this. Fathers are misunderstood. My goodness. You know, can we identify with that? Are we misunderstood? You know, we try to be loving, we try to be protective, we try to be providers, we try to be patient, and yet sometimes the communication breaks down and the devil gets in and creates havoc and boy, we are so misunderstood. I have to tell you that from my own personal experience in talking to many fathers over the years, I don't know of too many fathers. I don't know if I've ever met one, frankly, that ever felt they did a great job as their dad. There was always some regret. But I'll tell you what. You know, when you're called to love, when you're called to protect, when you're called to provide, when you're called to wait, and then you're called to allow the female side of the man to come forth, And you're called to be sensitive and compassionate and I'll tell you what. You need a mom to do that. I'm not saying men can't be compassionate and loving and caring. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that God created children to be produced through a marriage relationship where there's a father and there's a mother. And they contribute something to the relationship. It's like the relationship between a husband and wife. When a husband and wife come together, yeah, they may have opposites, you know, opposites attract. But when those two come together, the strength of one covers the weakness of the other and vice versa. And they become stronger. There's a synergy in the relationship. Amen. And so please, don't read, you know, Reader's Digest or on Facebook and take a survey of what a father is, because they have no idea. You know, their example is Bruce Jenner. Now, I'm not saying that to just be funny. I'm just saying, come on. What is that all about? What is that all about? Listen, as fathers, we need to be men. Mothers, as mothers, you need to be women. Hallelujah. Now, I realize that there are situations and circumstances, especially in single-family homes or single-parent homes, where a dad has to be a mother and a father, and a mother has to be a mother and a father. Did I get that right? Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? I realize that there are those situations. But men, come on, let's be men. That doesn't mean we need to go out and get a sword or a spear and stand guard over. But my point is that God has called you to love. God has called you to protect. God has called you to provide. God has called you to wait, to be patient. And no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, you're going to be misunderstood. But God is in the business of redemption. Amen? Because while you may not buy into the world system, are you with me here? Sometimes our children buy into the world system. And they have an expectation from you as a dad that is absolutely impossible for you to fulfill. God has a perfect system. We just need to learn how to line up with him. That's why we preach and we teach, and during the worship time, our desire is that you would enter into his presence, that this would not be simply a time of music and entertainment, but an opportunity to experience him in a real way, that he might speak to you, that he might touch your life, that he might put his finger on those wounds that you have maybe as a dad and bring healing and restoration to those areas. Amen? Now, I'm going to show you a video in just a moment, but I need to preface it a little bit. You know, it's a funny video. I hope you are entertained a little bit by it, but not to lose sight of the message. But there was a movie not too long ago, an animated movie, and it was called Despicable Me. Have you seen that? You know, so there's a main character in it, and his name is Gru. And Gru is going to be in this little short clip. And what you're going to see is that Gru is an evil person. Now, evil in an animated sense. Okay, I used the word evil earlier, and I meant every word what I said. But in this sense, you know, we're talking about animation. In any case, Gru wants to take over the world, and he's a thief. He wants to steal the moon. Some of you have seen that. Okay, and he has these minions. I know my sister loves the minions, but actually the minions are little evil people. You know, they're running around looking for someone evil to serve. Oh, does that sound familiar? But in any case, Gru has a plan that he's going to take these three children, he's going to adopt them, and he's going to use them in order to perpetuate his plan to steal the moon. Okay, but then something happens. Something happens. Okay, you can show that video.
Okay, go to sleep for a bit.
Oh, come on, you want a story?
Three sleepy kittens!
Oh no, sorry, that book was accidentally destroyed maliciously. Tonight, we are going to read a new book. This one is called One Big Unicorn. By who wrote this? Oh, me! I wrote it. Oh, look, it's a puppet book!
Here, watch this.
That's the horn.
This is gonna be the best book ever.
Not to pat myself on the back, but yes, it probably will be. Here we go.
One big unicorn, strong and free, thought he was happy as he could be. Then three little kittens came around and turned his whole life upside down.
Hey, that one looks like me.
No, what are you talking about? These are kittens. Any relation to persons living or dead is completely coincidental. They made him laugh. Ho-ho! They made him cry.
He never should have said goodbye.
And now he knows he could never part from those three little kittens that changed his heart. The end. Okay, all right. Good night.
Aw, I love you too. You know, if life were so simple, you know, if we could reverse everything in an hour and a half or whatever the length of the film is. But see, one of the things that we're called to do is to wait. And not just to wait idly, but to wait in an attitude of prayer, expectancy, and faith. Because God is in the business of reconciliation. God is in the business of restoring. God is in the business of redemption. Not only the redemption of our souls, but the redemption of our relationships. You know, you can't change the past. I wish I could. I wish I could. You know, one of the things that I've realized that in my own life is that when I was having kids, Dee and I got married at 24. I was, 25 or so when my son was born. Does that sound about right? 26. I was still working out who I was. Come on. Can anybody relate to that? You know, I'm here I am. I'm being asked to raise a child, and I don't even know who I am. You know, I was working to provide for my family. You know, Dee and I made a decision, or maybe I made the decision. I said, Dee, I don't want you to work. I want you to be home with the kids. We made a decision that we're going to somehow manage on one salary. See, I remember because my parents both had to work in order to survive. I was one of those kids with the string around their neck and the key on it, you know, a latchkey kid. And I'd go home and I'd have to bring my little brother with me and we'd enter a dark and empty home. Yeah, that's how it felt. It was spooky. And I decided I didn't want that for my kids. But I was misunderstood. My kids thought, well, because mom couldn't, you know, wasn't going to go to work, that we couldn't have the stuff that our neighbors had. You know, it's hard when you're learning how to raise yourself. How about this? Dads, especially young dads, you're trying to figure out your wife. I'm sure that's not everybody's case here. You know, maybe just mine, you know. But you're trying to figure out your wife, you know what I'm saying? And now you've got one or two or three kids. And you're working to provide. You're working to protect. And it causes you to be away. And so you look back on your life and you have regrets. At least I did. I have regrets. Well, I'll tell you what. This is the day where we just put the regrets aside. You can't change the past. You may have done things with the right motives and it didn't turn out the way you had hoped. You may have done things for the wrong motives, and it turned out even worse. But nevertheless, you cannot change the past. But you can change your future by the decisions you make today. Amen? Amen. Today is a new day. Today is what God has promised you. As someone said, you know, today is a present. It's a gift. Second Corinthians 5:17. When we first started having kids, I was not born again. I didn't know the Lord. But somewhere along the way, after my son was born and after my daughter was born, I came to know Jesus. And I began to embrace the scripture, Second Corinthians 5:17. And I encourage you to embrace it as well. That from that moment, I had new life. At that moment, I was a new creation. The old has passed away, and all things have become new. See, God is not in the business of rehabilitation, but God is in the business of recreation. Amen. We are new creations in Christ. In a sense, and although our children may not understand, our relatives may not understand, some of our friends may not understand, but the person that they knew is dead. Amen. And sometimes there are those people. Was that an amen? And sometimes there are those people in the past that want to keep you in the past. You need to break free. Yes. You are a new creation. You're not the same person that you were. You are God's sons and daughters. Today on Father's Day, if you were here last week, you'll know what this means. This is a message for fathers and others. Amen. Amen. And so I want to invite all of the fathers, dad, of whatever stripe you are, whatever category you belong to, you are a father in God's eyes because you are imparting something into the next generation. You may have made mistakes. I'm the first one up here. But God is a God of redemption. Do not give up. Because God will never give up. Amen? And so, dads, why don't you come up forward, please? And this is our moment to where the women can embarrass you. Hallelujah. That's what we do. We guys, we go bump, bump, bump. You know, we bump and we, you know, when the mothers are up here, they're kissy, kissy, you know. And there's a father and son. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What are we going to pray for this morning? What we're going to pray for is to let go of the past. You know, I'm sure all of us have regrets, and we just need to let go. We need to, as a familiar expression, let go and let God. But at the same time, we need to be praying for our sons and our daughters. Some of you men up here have been blessed in that you've been able to establish a wonderful relationship with your children. You know, some of us were not so successful. But all in all, we are brothers in Christ. And God shows no partiality to any person. You may have made a mess of it. You may have hit the ball right out of the park. Nevertheless, we need God's help. And Lord, we right now lift up our ladies. Come on, why don't you stand up and just let's pray for your men. Amen. Pray for the men. Lord Jesus, we just ask for your anointing upon every man here. Lord, take away the pain of regret. And let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Lord, just as perhaps we had poor example as fathers. But I'm sure that each one of us always thought we were doing the right thing. Our motives were right. We just didn't know how. And Lord, we just ask for a blessing and anointing upon every man here, that you would touch them, that you would fill them with your grace and mercy. Lord, that they would not live in the past of the land of regrets, but be able to move forward and take whatever steps are necessary, whatever steps you direct them in to restore the relationships with our sons and our daughters. And so, Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. And we give you all the grace or all the glory for this day. For, Lord, we don't want to be just simply a people who speak words. But, Lord, we want to be a people who not only speak words, but take action to change our future, to change our destiny. And so, Lord, just bless every man here. Bless every man here. Lord, just release a fresh anointing upon each and every one of them. And Lord, we ask you to just touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord, right now.
Our Lord Jesus and our Father God and the Holy Spirit, they make no mistake. Each one of these fathers, each one of you were chosen by God to raise the child that he gave to you. Each boy, each girl, he chose you because you would be the best dad for those children. It may not look like it sometimes, but he chose you. And anything in you that you're worried about or concerned about, he's got an answer for, because he put things into you that are from him. So they are good. They are good. And he will make good on all things in you because he ordained it that you would have those children. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What does Romans 8:28 say? All things work together for good for those that love God and are called to his purpose. Amen. So let's give the men a big hand, a big applause. Thank you, guys. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. Glory. Jesus. Happy Father's Day. Yes.